glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, February 19th. February 19th. Where am I? What day is it? What world am I in?
You are so rushing me along.
It's February 5th, 2019. Dude. I think I was so focused on trying to make sure I said 2019 that I... Okay. All right. Help me out, everyone. It's going to be one of those days. Wow. Well, a lot is going on between Memorization Mondays and Singing Men rehearsals. We launched into a new series, our 21st year of singing and declaring the wonders of God. So we met at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy, and it was great. Bittersweet. Yeah. It was so great to rejoin with all the guys. I think Alaric's been in here, every day since our Christmas concert, looking forward to our rehearsals starting up again. And other men have stopped by and said, yeah, they look forward to meeting up. But the bittersweet side was it was great to see all the guys, but a lot of conversation and prayer and heartfelt recollections of our very beloved. He had a role as our chaplain for a period of time. We actually called him that. But Carl Little Duderstadt had his home going. Was that Friday, Saturday?
He died Saturday at 2:30.
Okay.
Close to 2:30.
Yeah, I think most of the men, we got an email out to everyone. Yeah. And I think is it today that they're having arrangements there in Florida?
They're having a visitation and the funeral today down at, I think it's Bayside Community Church down there in Brandon 10. That's where Sandy's been going to church. And they've been supporting her and Carl, spiritually.
And I think there's something possibly being planned, and it was alluded to, and I can't remember the email or the announcement or the text or something I received, but we'll alert everyone. Certainly, I know all the singing men who so loved Carl. And gosh, I could spend a whole program telling stories and little snippets, but he was beloved. He finished well. I loved him sharing many times, whether it was when we were in prison or on an occasional time where we had a little room in our program where I'd say, Carl, come out here. And I'd put him on the spot. I mean, there was usually no forewarning. Once in a while, I'd say, hey, Carl, I might call on you to share a little of your testimony.
Oh, you're good at that in general.
Yeah. So,
no forewarning.
Yeah, everyone knows that about me. But he would share openly about he wasn't a very good husband, that he had some drinking problems, he had some issues. But then when Christ got a hold of him, and boy, what a saint that Sandy, his wife, his beloved, and how God had that testimony working through them.
God just turned Carl into one of the greatest people. I loved him.
Yeah, he was great. And he was one of your prayer warriors on your prayer line.
Yes, he was. In fact, that prayer line has volunteers around the nation that take the calls, but we have a Central Illinois group, because we live here. So I can be part of that. And we were actually meeting and praying, and we were praying for Carl right when he passed. And we were praying that God would really... We were mentioning all these things we all knew about him and commending him to God. And I'm sure everybody's doing that. The singing men, everybody's feeling this. He touched so many people's lives.
Well, I think
loved
you
him.
Had communicated with Sandy in different ways. And I think it was some other close friends and family members. I mean, God timed it where she had the support system, people right there.
And her
they
kids.
Were singing.
I know. The daughters and Sandy were singing as he left.
Yeah, from this world into the arms of
Sandy's
the
so
Lord
light-filled.
Savior.
She's such a joyous person. And three great kids. My goodness.
Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on if there is a special remembrance service or some his homegoing celebration. We look at it because he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He finished well. There wasn't a time at a Singing Men concert or a radio event where he didn't have one of those little prayer cards or a dozen of them. Can I put these out? Now, he learned later on to ask permission.
<That's nice. laughs>
But he used to just set them out all the time because it gave an 800 number for anyone who wanted to be prayed for and talk with somebody. And
Carl believed in prayer.
Yeah. So finished very well. And so, Sandy, our hearts go out to you and your family. And we know he's in a better place and he's not gasping for air. That was so hard. Many weeks and months of his health deteriorating. And there was, it wasn't too long ago when the Singing Men, I guess it was 4 months ago or so, where we Skyped him at a Singing Men rehearsal, and we presented him with the special plaque of being the chaplain and all that.
I saw that picture of him holding that. Yeah. He's such a social person. He just kind of buoys back up, you know, when people talk to him and get together with him.
Yeah, so our hearts go out to the whole Duderstadt family, clan, and may the Lord especially touch you and be ever close. And I don't know if he can ever, well, God can fill that void, and yet there will always be that void.
That's
the reality.
Real. I feel just very humbled personally to have known Carl Duderstadt. Yeah. I mean that.
Good man, good man. Oh, well, today we're going to have you do a little reading. I think the two chapters are Revolution and Theft.
Oh, yeah. A long time ago, but very somewhat perilous times we lived through.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, in a sense, Carl was a little revolutionary.
Yes, he was.
You know, he was kind of one of those, I think Mary Mosser used to always say it, a free agent for Jesus.
Like,
and he
kind of
operated that. He was sold out to the Lord and had a revolution going on, a good revolution. Stirred things up because he wanted people to know his Lord and Savior.
I suppose we all should.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Prime Life Times, we're looking for help in Danville.
Uh-huh.
Kind of, I don't know, how do you transition out of, you know.
Oh, you don't.
You don't, but we are looking for a helper, somebody that could drive around to about 10 locations in Danville. Three of them are McDonald's. We thank God for the McDonald's Corporation, the owner of at least these five or six McDonald's that we're working with in the Vermilion County.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they allow us to have Prime Life Times papers set out. A few, at least one for sure, has one of our racks. And the others, I think we can set them on their tables. But if you could help service, you know, maybe once a week, drive around the Danville area and look at these 10 locations, probably take you an hour or less maybe. We'd love to hook up with you. Danville's a great market, a lot of readers. We go through so many papers in and around the Danville area. And we have a couple people that service most of the locations, but we have some unique ones that we'd love to have some help just overseeing. And if you have a car and transportation and you could do that, volunteer maybe an hour or so a week, and you live in and around Danville, and we can kind of figure out how to get you papers, or you come into Champaign-Urbana, or you work in Danville and you have a little time maybe after work. The delivery can be most any time. It's dropping off these papers at these locations. And it's just like a handful. Some of them take a bundle, like 50 or 80. But it's light duty. If you can help, give us a call, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Oh, yeah. Today, in fact, in a couple hours, we're going to have a big Prime Life Times meeting.
Looking forward to it.
Sales team's going to be here. Some of the distribution team's going to be here. The graphics and layout team's going to be here. And then the incredible editorial team.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, that's going to be a big...
Us.
And John
four
Jennings, our board member, he's going to come and observe. He wants to just
know
what's going on.
We'll have to wear good clothes. Huh?
Yeah,
okay.
We'll have to be at our best behavior.
Get all of our Illini shirts off.
Yeah,
put something on.
Yeah. So, yeah, pray up the Prime Life Times as we see God continuing to use it in this unique way, you know, having a publication that's accessible at over 200 area locations to the general public. I mean, we're in the malls, we're in Walmarts, we're in grocery stores, we're in restaurants, we're in healthcare facilities, retirement homes. God couldn't have handed us a better opportunity to reach people.
Yeah, really.
Many people that are unfamiliar with this radio ministry.
Yeah, a lot
because
of people aren't familiar with Christ either.
Yeah, so we see it as a real unique gift that God gave us about 16 months ago.
Yeah.
We're on our 16th edition.
My word.
Very soon. Wow.
Feel kind of old or something.
Yeah. And I know we're working on maybe a special guest for tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends to read content. We're trying to put that together. We'll see if we can get him or her in and read an excerpt or two.
Well, you know, in these times when people are so aggravated with each other before you go, it seems that it's so great to have something to put in people's hands that's just good stuff, positive, uplifting.
Informative, engaging. Yeah, it's very positive. Great stories, great content. Again, thank you, God, for the advertisers, those that are helping finance and underwrite the cost of this paper. And, working on some new advertisers this month, some new friends that are catching the vision or just want to publicize their great product or service.
Or just want to send some money to help.
Yeah, that's right. Money helps. So
it does.
Be a part of the Prime Life Times. Be a part of the Great News Radio Network. And we're all under Great News Media Group.
I know.
So God supplied us with all of our needs thus far, and we look forward to seeing how he's going to continue to do that in the days ahead.
And Great News Media Group's under God's
umbrella. Yes, yes, yes. He's the head.
You betcha.
We're all just worker bees for him.
I like that.
All right, let's talk some revolution.
Okay. All right. This is chapter 36.
Out of Memories of an African Son by our very own Marianne Simpkins.
Revolution. Is there a more strangely disquieting and uniquely terrifying sound than that of gunfire in the distance, drawing ever closer? Soldiers in armed forces live through this repeated exposure for months on end, and there are millions of other individuals, residents of numerous countries, who now live with this terrorizing sound on a daily basis. Every day, while some of us just go about our business, they are living in utter terror of explosions and gunfire. They understand, on a raw, frightening level, those famous words of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23:4. My experience with gunfire in the distance, drawing ever closer, was in Ghana, at the attempted overthrow of the military-run government. My father came downstairs and stood me by the door and said solemnly, his hand on my shoulder, as we heard the gunfire, shouts and clamor in the distance, "You must go upstairs and put all that you can in just one suitcase," he said, "and then come and stay near this door with it, ready to go, at a moment's notice when I get back." With that, he left, heading toward the sounds of shouts and yelling. My mother and I, waiting in the house, got news relayed to us from our Twi-speaking neighbors, who also spoke English, that the airports were shut down, the port closed, and any hope of escape cut off. News flew through our neighborhood that there were possibly even killings going on. Neighbors lined streets and gathered at corners, trying to get updates of what was occurring in the distance. My mother and I both desperately wanted my father to return, although now our suitcases would be of little use, as there were no planes leaving the country. We most certainly would not head north on the roads, given the turmoil, and the ocean stood to the south, with no ships available for boarding. 4 hours later, the military forces had regained complete control of the government, but a beloved general had been assassinated. The general had been instrumental the year before in overthrowing the ruler that some had grown to call a dictator, who had once cared for the people and had been at the forefront of Ghana's independence from British colonial rule, the first of the African nations to gain independence. But he had, perhaps, too long lived in splendor while many people suffered in abject poverty. At least that is what we were told at the time. The general and the military had overthrown the dictator the previous year, and now the military itself was the subject of an attempted revolution. We were grateful the coup was squelched and order regained, though what life would be like now was yet to be seen. At that moment, foremost in our minds was that it appeared some sense of safety had returned. The shouting, the gunfire, and the terror around us turned to dancing in the streets and bright banners waving from the balconies. Then, just as suddenly, that too turned to anguish and cries as news of the general's death ran like a fire through the country. Only 2 months before, at the annual Liberation Day commemoration, people had gathered in happiness and respect. Now, in just days, they would gather again in what has remained the largest funeral gathering I have ever imagined. People flooded the scene of the funeral event, all dressed in brilliant red or carrying something red. Funerals in Ghana tend to be large and sometimes grand affairs, with mourners dressed in red or black, But this was astonishing. A sea of red as far as we could see. The valley of the shadow of death. The shadow. When that shadow crosses our path, everything changes. Sometimes, as in the attempted overthrow of the government of Ghana, the shadow passes, moving away from us as startlingly as it first appeared. Other times, for some of us, that shadow stays for years, or for months, or for a long night. Still other times, that shadow turns into a reality, and death is faced. Today, please say a prayer for those around our planet who are caught in the mind-wrenching terror of gunfire, and for all those caught in the shadow of a child's long illness, the shadow of unexpected bad news, or the shadow of financial ruin. Terror is not bound by specifics. It lives in shadow. Come quickly, God, to help me. Psalm 71. Father, when the shadow of terror crosses my path, give me courage. Courage to stay on the step I'm on and not turn to the fear of the future that would encompass me. Give me your hand to hold. And when I see others caught in the same long shadow of gathering gloom, let me give them my other hand. That way, we're both covered with your presence. And Lord, we pray for deliverance from all forms of suffering and from evil. We pray that the light and the goodness will return quickly. But whatever the case, keep us with you. In your Son's name, we do pray.
It lives in the shadow. I'm looking. Terror is not bound by specifics.
I know.
It lives in the shadow. Powerful chapter. Revolution, chapter 36, Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, available here at the Great News Radio Center for $15. Stop in anytime, but call first.
Thank you.
Chapter 37.
Theft. While we were living in the Wycliffe translator's huge multifamily house, a smaller house was being built across the dirt street, and my family was fortunate enough to be able to rent it for a reasonable sum. We moved into it just days after the attempted overthrow of the government. The new house had its problems, but it also was a fairly nice-looking little place with interesting parquet wooden floors that we all thought lovely. My mother found some wicker furniture that she used to outfit the living and dining room with. And though it was inexpensive, our house really did have the look of an interesting tropical abode. We were a little closer to nature, though, than we might have expected. Beautifully multicolored lizards ran all over the house, both inside and out.
Pointing out both inside, yes.
And out.
Inside.
Inside, as well as a number of spiders. Apparently, it was not exactly what one would term tightly built. We did not know that first night quite how insecure, but we found out on the second. As I lay asleep in my new bedroom on that second night, with my belongings scattered here and there, I suddenly awoke. Something had abruptly brought me completely awake, out of a sound sleep. I lay there listening and heard it again, a strange scratching sound, like something moving. I swung my legs over the side of the bed and sat, listening. Again, there was a faint scratching sound and more movement. It was coming from the living room. I decided to go across the hall to my parents' bedroom and wake them. Then we could walk down that hall to the living room and see what was happening. I never made it off the bed. I was suddenly immobilized, stopped, in mid-motion, not in fear. I didn't really know there was anything to particularly be afraid of, and then the message came. You will put your legs back on the bed. You will lie down. I looked around. There was no one standing there, and yet the message was there in the air. I truly have never known how to describe it. It was not self-generated. It was just in the air, filled with commanding strength. You will lie down. I slowly swung my legs back onto the mattress and lay down, looking around the room from side to side. I lay there in the darkness, staring at the ceiling. I could still hear movement in the living room, but was by now paying no attention. This was far more important, whatever it was. you will close your eyes and go to sleep. Hmm. I still stared at the ceiling, and again, you will close your eyes and go to sleep. It was though the entire room was saying it. Slowly, I closed my eyes, and remarkably, went immediately to sleep. The next morning, I heard my parents talking loudly in the living room. They were clearly agitated. I hurried off my bed and ran down the hallway. Our new house had been broken into. The white curtain on the window was blowing in the wind, the window jaggedly broken. Almost all of our mission equipment, which we had just moved over from the Wycliffe translator's house, was gone. So many valuable things gone. The curtain waved softly over the damage. That day, my father hired a guard to watch our house during the night, and we began the process of putting huge iron rods over the windows of the house. Our guard was of the Islamic faith, and I awoke to the sound of his morning prayers coming through the window on many mornings for the rest of my days in Ghana. The house was never secure from the lizards. We lived with them quite peacefully as they crawled around the inside walls, across tables and floors. But the house was finally secure from thieves. With our huge wrought iron bars over the windows and our wonderful guard, we slept securely at last. And my lesson was that God can intervene. Like many others, there have been times in my life when I felt what I perceived to be God's direction in my life. I've had revelatory thoughts and ideas, and I felt guidance that seemed to be directly from God. But I had never, and have never since, felt such a thing as happened that night. Had God granted me the spiritual sight, I do believe I would have seen an angel's outstretched arm in front of me, palm toward me, halting my movement. And I'm grateful. My parents were convinced that I would have been killed had I walked out into that hall with the theft in full progress. There is no way the thieves would have let me live. In Psalm 91:11, the Bible says that God will give his angels charge of us. I believe it. God, I thank you for your protection. The times I know of it and the times I don't. Have there been 1,000 times you've protected me and I didn't know it? Thank you. Thank you. Please be with every one of your people right now, wherever they are. And particularly, be with those in prisons for your name's sake or in persecution. Please, send an angel to help them.
Wow. Well, we do have those guardian. Aren't all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? I think that's the rendering, the fact that there are guardian angels that God uses on our behalf in mysterious ways sometimes. And
they're powerful beings from God.
Yeah, thank you, God, for watching over you.
Thank you.
Bringing you to this point that you can share this book with us all and be a part of the Great News Radio Prime Life Times team.
Thank you.
I know we're out of time. I'm just going to close out with a portion of the song. It's so appropriate with this message, with this chapter titled Theft. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
It's all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord. Well, it's all night, all day. Angels watching over me. Well, it's all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord. Well, it's all night, all day. Angels watching over me. Well, I went down to the valley to pray. Angels watching over me, my Lord. My soul got happy, I stayed all day. Angels watching over me. It's all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord. Well, it's all night, all day. Angels watching over me.
Now when my heart is sad and blue,
angels watching over me, my Lord.
Ooh, I call on him to see me through.
Angels watching over me.
Oh,
all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord. Over me.
Well, if you get there
before I do.
Angels watching over me, my Lord.
Tell all my friends I'm coming too.
Angels watching over me. Oh.